Thank you for calling Bank of Cardiff. This is Steve. Can I get your 16-digit reservation code?
Hi, Steve. Yeah, my code is 2511.
Okay.
0401-0045-8286.
Okay. Let me pull up your information real fast.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is this Luxy Sleep Incorporated, Smart Sleep?
Yes, it is. And okay. My name is David Farley, F-A-R-L-E-Y.
David, F-A-R-L-E-Y?
That's correct.
Okay, and what's a good phone number for you, just in case we get disconnected here?
It's area code 714-709-9070.
Mm-hmm. 9070, perfect.
And what was your name again?
I'm sorry, that's Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Are you working directly with the company, or are you working in the business of feeding information into?
I'm a direct rep here. I'm a direct sales rep.
Okay.
Perfect. Let me just confirm some information here, David, real quick, and then we can get into it. Billing address still 4195 Chino Hills?
No, it's not. I'd like to give you the correct address. That was one
sure.
of the reasons why I called.
Partially, okay.
Anyway.
All right.
By the way, the company name is Luxy Sleep, Inc. Capital okay. S on the sleep. And to be correct about it, it's Luxy Sleep, Inc. Smart Sleep was a name that we used when we founded the company.
Oh, okay.
That we gave up in favor of Luxy Sleep. We had a name change.
Right.
So the address here is 10681 Jasmine Street, J-A-S-M-I-N-E, Jasmine Street, in Fontana, California.
And Fontana?
Yep. Fontana, F-O-N-T-A-N-A, and the zip is 92337.
Okay, let me confirm that. 10681 Jasmine Street, Fontana, California, 92337.
Correct.
All right. And the phone you're calling me from, is this the company phone or is this like a cell phone?
This is my cell phone that I'm calling you from.
Okay. Is there a good company phone for you?
Actually, this is the phone that I'm
okay.
best reached on. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's totally fine. Okay. And how do you structure your company? I know it's an incorporated, but is it a S-Corp or is it a C-Corp?
It's an S-Corp.
Okay. And how long have you guys been in business?
It was formed in January of 2015. We've been in business for almost 2 years.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, yeah. So, David, we have many programs available. So, depending on your specific needs here, let me know what you're looking to do, and I can point you in the right direction.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate getting your marketing materials, because usually it all goes in the round file and doesn't even get opened. And for some reason, you got a lot of competitors out there, I guess.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you know. But seriously, the company, I need to tell you a little bit just about the company. The company, I had a manufacturing company that I ran for 27 years, and I sold it 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Went on a non-compete for 3 years, and then 2 years ago, in January of 2015, I decided to get back into business. Coming back into the business and now running the company, Luxy Sleep, for the almost 2 years that we've been operating, as a reseller and marketing company of products that are mattress products, and we've been working with a contract manufacturer to supply us our products. And we've been anxious to get to a certain point where we felt confident about making investments in advertising on the internet and also getting into our own manufacturing facilities. We now have a product called Luxy Sleep. Our product was called Luxy Sleep at Smart Sleep, but the product name was so well received, we decided that before we got too far down the road, we'd change the name of the company from Smart Sleep to Luxy Sleep. So that's what that's all about.
Okay.
But Luxy Sleep is now We launched our product at the beginning of this year. We're in a very active marketing spot, and I have been, ragtagging it together all the way from the inception through to today. And I do have a number of merchant families that I've been living with. Now, however, I stand at a point where a couple of things are about to occur. One is we're starting up our own manufacturing operation. We're in the facility now, just getting set up and so forth. And that involves bringing in some equipment. Some of that equipment was my own equipment. We're also purchasing some equipment. So I'm going to need to be talking at some point to somebody about a equipment finance, because I've put about all my equity into the company at this point.
Okay.
The second piece of this is that, lo and behold, the mattress, the online, I don't know if you're familiar with a product called Casper. Have you heard of that mattress online?
It's very familiar sounding to me.
So it's a kind of the bedding retail industry is going through a bit of a transformation, because a bunch of smart guys figured out how to do a digitally enabled business model as an alternative to going to a store to buy a mattress. And I've been in the business of making the mattresses for 27 plus years, but this marketing online is the new exciting part of the business.
And the new wave.
We've come along with some. It's the new wave. In fact, that's an interesting thing to say. We are actually the leaders of a second wave strategy in the space. We have a second gen product. It's not the first one out. It's one that's got some of my experience written all over it. It's a great product. It's called Luxy. LuxySleep.com is a site you could just go to for a minute, maybe even while we're talking, you get an idea what we're doing. But we've launched, and now the situation is, I'm in a market segment that's got about 50 players in it. The first player in did it right, took it to the top, and they're the first wave, and that's Casper. And there are about five other companies that are competitors that have all come onto the scene during this last year or two that are all running at 20 million plus. So we've got Casper running at about 200 million. We've got about five players running in combination at not quite that number, but around 150 million. And we've got a $550 million segment right now, and there's about 50 of us filling out the tail end. I'm in the process of moving from that tail end group to the second group. We did about 275 in billings last month, but we just turned our advertising on really last weekend. So I'm sitting here looking at upwardly spiking traffic. We've tripled our traffic in the last 3 days. And so I know what's coming, and I'm getting ready. I need to get ready for it. I need to get out of the merchant advance business and see if I can get into a loan that's got some, at least got some, I hardly care about the rate. It's like I got to get some term associated with it.
Sure.
So I can get those daily payments down. And there is this need for equipment financing. Now, those are probably two completely separate things, and I'm not trying to complicate the conversation, but I'm a known entity, experienced in a industry veteran. We have a project that we know is working. It's been up, and we've tried it out, and we've got it launched, and I think we know where we're headed. We've now moved into our own manufacturing facility, and we know how to do that. We probably will be partially in operation by the end of this month, and probably fully away from our contract manufacturing support, business model by the end of the year. So
awesome.
We're not trying to do it all at once. We're trying to do it stepwise. As it turns out, our key product, which is this online product that you might want to go and look at, Luxy, LuxySleep.com is where you'd find it. That product is costing me today about $530. We retail it for $1099. That's a queen. Everything's got a discount associated with it, so our net real selling price is like $975. We've probably got affiliates and other involved parties that knock that down. We're probably generating about $300 a piece, and we're averaging about seven of them a day right now. When we move into our own manufacturing, our margin's going to increase. And we'll gather up that manufacturing margin, and our margin will increase by about $150. So we're going to be in the area of about $500 of kind of free gross margin in each product at very high 40% margin levels. And we are currently tracking to move our daily sales rate to about 23 a day by Black Friday, which is in just 2.5 weeks. So we're
nice.
You get what I'm saying. I mean, I hope you hear that. I know what I'm doing, okay? But
I don't have an
immediate problem, but I'm at that point right now where I've got to say, wait a second. Is there where do I turn? You know, it's not a startup; it's a restart. We've got no credit, okay? Mm-hmm. The Merchant Advance was a nice vehicle for cash flow, you know, and kind of at a certain stage of the business. But I think it's time. We've got to get some loans that have term to them, and I probably need a working capital loan of about, I don't know, I'm a couple hundred thousand in merchant advances this morning, so, you know, I need probably a working capital line that's about as big as it looks like you do on your collateral material that you hand out, and also I probably need about maybe $300,000 financing on equipment, some of which I've already purchased, but some of it will be staged into the first and second quarter of next year, so it's not all immediate, but that's the kind of capital growth that I'm going to have to provide for.
Cool.
So what do you think? Is Bank of Cardiff in the business of helping guys out like myself or not?
David, you absolutely called the best place you could ever call. I deal with this day and night. Pretty much you need the working capital. We do that. You need equipment financing, and we do that. So that's fantastic. Your sales are amazing. Just out of curiosity, what did you say? You said 270 a month?
Yeah, that's what we closed out last month at about 270. Our run rate last week was about 7 units a day. That's 7,000 a day. I said, we just, what I'm doing is, Steve, you got to understand how really bizarre this is that if I were to have pushed on the gas 3 months ago, my mm-hmm. contract manufacturer would have blown up because he's, you know, we are in somebody else's house as a third priority project and we can't get a real response. So I can't push on the gas. On the other hand, if I can't get going, you know, at some point, so I've done sort of the entrepreneurial thing. I just said, hell, I went out and leased a building. Started putting equipment in it. We've been working in here for a month, and we're wiring it up, and you know, it'll be a little while before we're really running on our own, on a unified basis. We know how to do this. Let me back up a little bit. The company that I ran before was called Anatomic Global. It was located in Corona, California. I'm an engineer, and I started the company, like I said, 27 years ago. That was at the end of my term there, so now it's 5 years later. 32 years ago, I started a company that made orthopedic soft goods out of urethane foam, selling mostly to acute care hospital customers, and had a couple really nice accounts, like Tyco, for example. So I grew that business up to $20 million, and then decided that if I really wanted to take care of my children correctly, I needed to get into a bigger marketplace. There's only 1,200 acute care hospitals in the United States, and I had 40% of the market share of the product line I was selling in those
wow.
hospitals. So I wasn't going to grow that anymore. So I decided to recapitalize. So I let that part of the business go, and I got into the business of making foam beds, because I was already fabricating urethane foam, to compete in a marketplace that was involved in a certain transformation. I'm going back now about eight years ago. This is when that brand, Tempur-Pedic, really became a household word, and everybody understood what memory foam mattresses were all about. And we built a line of products called Comfort by Design from Anatomic Global and got ourselves recognized nationally and grew what was left of that business. I think I broke it back to about $6 million. And we grew it back up in about 5 years. We grew it up to about $32 million. And I did that by developing my own distribution to the retail brick-and-mortar retailers in this country. There's 14,400, or there were at the time, 14,400 retail stores. Every one of them had Tempur-Pedic at that point in time as a necessity. I mean, if you didn't have a Tempur-Pedic brand hanging in your store window, you weren't going to get the door. So Tempur-Pedic dominated with a unique product that was unique because of its tactility. You know, you felt it, and it was like gooey and and slowly deforming and all that stuff. Well, we came along with some smart products. We were the no-brand second-tier alternative to Tempur-Pedic. And it turned out that even though that industry is kind of hard to break into because the brands all own the real estate, really, in most cases. But I found we ended up in about 550 retail stores and running at about the $30 million plus rate when I ran out of capital and needed $20 million to build that business up. And what I did was I went out into the capital market, found an acquirer, brought them in, spent 6 months in due diligence. We were going to do the deal. And then I decided that I would do the deal with a industry supplier of mine who really wanted the company better than anybody else on the planet. And I'm just going to make this story really short. The damn private equity people that owned them took us on as a project, and I was forever to be, you know, destroyed at that moment. And that's how it turned out. They came in, ran a deal with me, it was rough, and what I needed to do to protect myself, these people also owned my primary raw material supplier, which was a company called Fomex International. The hedge fund that owned them was Matlin Patterson and a couple of small banks, but Matlin Patterson primarily, and they came in with Mr. Ruthless and decided that it was their time to exercise themselves on me because I owed them money. Of course, I was a customer of theirs. I had both payables to them and receivables from my clients, so we weren't in trouble. In fact, I had just run the third consecutive year at 18% of growth. I grew in 08, 09, and 10, and then became an irresistible acquisition to a private equity-held partner that I'd worked with for 20-plus years, who I had only worked with the local operating people. I hadn't met the ownership, you know, and when they came in, at that time, they were struggling, losing all the furniture business to China, losing all the automotive business to the state of the economy and so forth. So they really needed me bad, and they paid a pretty price on paper, but they destroyed the process. What I did, I'm gonna finish the story now. I'm sorry for being long-winded.
No, you're fine.
I don't know if Adam, but I get you're quick, so I'm just going to lay it out. Here's the deal. You know, the transaction was hostile. I mean, that's what it amounted to. And so I said, well, I'm going to take the company stock, take it in my company name, and I'm going to bankrupt myself. Now you cannot exercise any rights on the supply side of this relationship that we've had all these years. And I think from the most part that worked as a negotiating strategy. The fact that they took the company and then destroyed it and that the earnout evaporated in the process, that's actually a secondary issue. The problem I've got is I filed for personal bankruptcy, not because I had ever had a poor credit score or any credit problems, ever, but I did it to squash the stock. And sure enough, that bankruptcy never even went to completion. It was abandoned at some point along the way, and it destroyed my personal credit. Mm-hmm. When I got out of the business, I continued on for about 7 months after the acquisition. And when I left, it was still a surprise. You know, I mean, I didn't leave. I didn't think it was going to turn out like it did. My motto that I was running the company by then at that time, and I had 130 employees, and you know, that not a little business, but not a big business. I was running a mid-sized manufacturing company, local based here in Southern California. It was a real shame what happened to the company. But what I did was, I think, the right move at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I have, since I've left there, I've been really kind of in a mad scramble. I mean, I could talk calmly about this point that I've got Luxysleep at today, but on the other hand, I've been working very hard with no resources to build and rebuild. For the people that are working for me at the company, who I guess love me because they all came over with me, I've still got people corresponding with me asking that when I get to a certain point that I don't forget them, bring it in. We're not rebuilding the original company. It's not that, because things have changed. This transformation, the first one I tagged that word transformation onto was Tempur-Pedic, when the consumer learned about the difference between innerspring type mattress systems and non-innerspring type mattress systems. That took place 8 or 10 years ago. Now we're in another transformation, which is to the online, bet in a box alternative to even going into a store at all. Casper's the company that led the way. They've only been on the scene since April 2 years ago. They're a 2.5-year-old company and currently at a $200 million run rate. I'm sorry, they sell one product on one website and make all kinds of false claims about how that product exists. In reality, it's a bunch of marketing folks who are brilliant digital marketing folks who know about how to do a Silicon Valley-style startup. They got a little bit of money up front. They ended up, they've now raised $70 million, and they're just racing off into the who knows where.
I gotcha.
And you know what? It's great because there's actually three buckets. There's that guy, and then there's five guys chasing him that are running in the $20 to $50 million range. Their names are Lisa, Tufton, Needle, Purple, Lull, and I don't know which one I missed. A company called, Helix, H-E-L-I-X. And then behind that, there's me and the other 50 guys that are doing 2 million. You know, a year. Mm-hmm. Except we have decided we're going to jump it from where we're at to the next group up. So that's where I'm at. I know
perfect
what I'm doing. It's a stirred up market segment. The total size of this the bedding industry is a $15 billion market, and the segment where people are buying beds online without seeing them, feeling them, touching them, laying on them, sleeping on them, sight unseen, is about now around $550 million. The analysts have believed the segment, even if the industry's not growing, because it may not be, but there's a transformation taking place, and they believe that the segment that I'm in is going to double again in 2 years and double again in another 3 years. So we're looking at this becoming, you know, 18 to 24% of the total market at some point, maybe 5 years from now. But it's really a, you know, the industry, the betting industry, is kind of fun because I can talk to my friends who are senior people in the brand, at the brands, who are basically innerspring upholstery companies. And I'd say they're kind of at the point where the taxi cab companies were maybe 3 years ago when somebody said, hey, I wonder about this Uber thing, if this is really going to be a long-term problem for us.
Yeah, right.
That's what's happening. It's a legitimate, ongoing thing. We're having fun with it. You can tell I'm talkative, and I've got...
Yeah, I mean, I'm on your website right now. I'm taking a look at it.
Yeah, so it's like... So I just sat here this afternoon opening mail, and I said, you know, who am I going to go to when I need to get out from under these merchant advances, which are perfectly acceptable to me? I'm a big boy. I know exactly what they cost. Mm-hmm. But it had to do with cash flow, spinning the wheel up. I've now spun the wheel up to the point where I just made a $20,000 commitment for advertising spend on a website that's been producing at better than a 2% conversion rate. We put it in play. In fact, we opened the advertising yesterday afternoon, and in the last 3 days, we've seen our traffic on the site triple. And today,
awesome.
we had three mattresses ordered today before noon. I don't think we've ever had three mattresses ordered before noon. So we might finish at 10 or 12 today instead of the 5 or 6 or 7 that we usually see. When I said 7 earlier, by the way, that's a production requirement date. I always talk in terms of production requirements over a 5-day week. So 7 times 5, 35 is, you know, and divide that by 7. We're actually doing maybe like 5.5 a day on the average. But it's jumping. It's going to go right up. So I've got to be thinking about what to do. And if you guys, going back to the problem, the problem with the bankruptcy is that I didn't know if I was ever going to go back in business again, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined up with my daughter. We're a father-daughter team company now. She's the digital marketing genius. And I consider the credit repair project to be like a whole nother life, you know, another project. I just haven't done anything about it.
Sure.
I wish I had now. And maybe because the bankruptcy was really never a completed bankruptcy, I'm completely missing an opportunity to fix something quick. But I've got a horrible credit score that I started maybe a couple of months ago, made a few inquiries, and I noticed right away all that was doing was dragging my credit score down.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's your score at?
It's in the 500s. Okay, it's really low.
Okay.
for a guy, you know, like I said, I'm a senior person now, and I've never had an issue with credit or anything like that. This thing, it was my decision to bankrupt myself and squash the company's stock and be in a better negotiating position. I probably negotiated a $10 million better deal. Unfortunately, none of that ever actually materialized, so it was sort of a waste of energy, and I just destroyed myself. So that's the long, and, you know, and we can, if we need to, maybe we can get some professional help that helped me doctor up the things on the credit side, but I sure got a tiger by the tail in terms of the business right now.
Hey, man. Well, you know, David.
I do need both, yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, I just, when I opened up your folder, it says, you know, it says unsecured loans. It's got, you know, working capital referenced. It's got equipment financing referenced.
Absolutely.
And it looks like you're in California, so I just picked up the phone and called you.
Cool.
Okay, that's as much as I know about you.
So, perfect, yeah. So, I mean, you definitely called the right place.
What do you want to – yeah, and you say that because you know that you've got a unique program that,
we do.
That is maybe – it fits maybe just a little bit above the guys that are trying to get their third – you know, barista station set up right and running.
Sure.
Kind of thing,
and
you know?
And, yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you why we have the, you know, the upper hand on those guys. You know, capital has only been out for, I don't know, 8 years maybe. We've been around for 14 years. We were one of the first companies to actually work with the capital loans. So we know what we're doing when it comes to them. And now you have all these people, you know, left and right, hundreds of companies now that claim they do capital loans. They have no idea what they're doing. So that's one thing. So.
I know there's a lot of danger in it, but you know what? I'm a Trump follower here, okay?
Me too, man. Okay.
This is what we – without this, though, we're dead in the water. Without this kind of capital risk-taking on the part of on an organized basis, those of us who have to build our economy aren't going to have the means to get it done. I'm a perfect living, breathing example of how do you start with nothing again, and in 2 years' time, really – build something of some size back up. I'll be employing 150 people here by next summer anyway. You know, that's important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, so, I mean, we can definitely do something. I know you said your credit is horrible, but the nice thing about working capital is that it's not really based off your credits, you know, based off your sales more than anything. So,
well, the merchant advance type of working capital is. I don't know that... you know, I'm looking. I hope I can find. I don't know. I guess I'm hung up. I'm old school. Maybe
that's
it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be a conventional loan. That's what I'm thinking. Terms of. But I sure need some term though.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. The thing I always do for all my customers, you know, people that are in your exact same situation, I get them approved for the most amount and for the longest term, and the best program available, and then we just work back from there. That's the easiest way to do it.
Well, I'm covering a $3,000 a day nut right now. So
okay, that's totally fine. And I know you keep you say you've worked with working capital loans before, and the most important thing is that if it makes sense for the business and your return on the investment is amazing, then absolutely, it's a no-brainer. Sure. Especially if you can overturn or if you can turn the inventory a couple times and make, you know, double the amount of money, which sounds like you can, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much, you know, a very easy thing that we can do here for you.
Yeah, actually, when I get to the point where I can prove I can stick a dollar bill into it and it pushes me back $1.40, then I'm really looking for a different kind of help. But I'm for financing the marketing part of the – but I'm really not doing that now. I'm really just trying to get unified in one manufacturing facility with control over all of that. That, by the way, would make me unique to everybody in the segment. The segment, Casper and these followers of Casper, are all resellers. They're marketing companies. There's only out of the 50 companies that I'm aware of in the segment, I'd be number three that's a manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've got, and what we've got is a next generation product. It's not the simple thing that came out 2 years ago. It's advanced. We also have a second wave strategy business model, which means everything they've screwed up, we're going to fix. That's the first thing we do. We've also high performer. There are everybody's website records, you know, the 4 and 5 star review type thing. And we also in this industry, in this segment, have mattress review sites that have all the mattresses all evaluated and spread out for And guess where we rank out of the top 12 competitors that includes everybody in those first two groups? We're number one.
Number one.
Okay. And then the last piece of it is scope. I've got an entirely different scope than the folks I'm competing with. And I don't think the consumer's interested in that at all. But I think from a fundamentals perspective, certainly, you know, with my lending partners, you know, we need to understand that we've got currently manufacturing going on in Shanghai, China, for the support of a licensing agreement that I've entered into with a distributor in Australia. We're mm-hmm. selling to a distributor in South Korea by the small cargo container, but that's going to grow. And in the next 2 weeks, we're going to re-enter the brick-and-mortar retail world with an online product in a particular financial format that really none of the other guys can get to because they don't have the economic advantage I have by being my own manufacturer. I've got a way to get in and be a part of a problem that these folks are all having to deal with right now. And we're also rethinking and spending most of the day on it yesterday, how we get introduced onto the furniture retail side of the equation. So I'm not online alone. We are considering online to be a place where we do our brand development, and we're going to be kind of a multi-channel purveyor as we grow this thing up. That's why I am very confident about continued growth, you know, at least in the mm-hmm. in the short term, and how appropriate it would be that I get if I can find somebody that can get over me being a horrible bad actor and bad credit risk or whatever. I think this would be exciting for us both.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree. I mean,
how big a package do you do for somebody who's mid stage, you know, where I'm at, so to speak?
Well, for you, because you know you wrote. Yeah, go ahead. You're kind of breaking up. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you do like $500,000 or $600,000? Is that a level that you can get to with one credit?
Well, we can usually, you know. It depends. Based off what you're telling me here, right, seriously, right now, you know, we're looking at a range probably anywhere from 200 all the way up to, you know, 250 or maybe even 300, just for the first time. The nice thing about that, though, is midway through the term, what you can do is you can do refi and you can do additional financing or additional funding, I should say.
Okay.
Pull
this
out more
is
money.
The model I'm this is the model I'm familiar with. That's mm-hmm. that's the merchant advance formula. I understand how that works.
Mm-hmm. So you just have to realize that, you know, $250,000 unsecured is a lot of dough. So mm-hmm. so that's why we had to work like that. And especially for the first-time customers. So, I mean, you know, build that relationship midway through. Additional funding is always available. So that's the nice thing. Now, I know you said you don't. Do you have a deadline? Do you need this by a certain time?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay.
I'm just doing research with you today.
Sure, yeah, no, I totally understand. Okay. But yeah, I mean, everything you have told me so far looks great. You have a really good return. Your sales are good. The credit is where it's at, but we work with Credit Tiers A to D.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a really good product. I mean, I'm looking at your website right now. You know, you guys are doing $7,000 a day, which is awesome. And you guys just need it for some, you know, manufacturing and advertising. And you're going to be, you know, blowing it out of the water, especially with that return.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, with the $500 margin growth. So,
okay. How do you treat, if the only way you treat a new relationship mm-hmm. is from a merchant advance perspective, how do you handle the addition of a equipment loan in the same package?
So it's actually two different programs that we have. We have the working capital, mm-hmm. and then which is your unsecured, however many months, shorter term, and the equipment finance is going to be the longer term. So it's two different programs. It's just like your traditional loan. The nice thing is that if you do this capital loan with us first, build that relationship, and your credit will go up, and we can see that, you know, we've built this relationship with you. And then when you come back for that equipment that you said you don't need immediately, but probably next year, we'll see that that relationship has been built, and it would open up so many more doors for you on the equipment side.
Well, actually, what I said was some of the equipment won't be coming in here until the first and second quarter of next year.
Okay. Okay.
But I've already spent like $200,000 on equipment and out of my own pocket into the operation here.
Okay.
I got quite a bit of equity in here, mm-hmm. and I've only got $200,000 worth of merchant advance cumulative right now, all pretty short term, which explains the $3,000 a day. But the problem that I've got. If I were to go back to those guys who I've been working with since the first of the year, so we're into it like in going to our 11th month now,
mm-hmm.
I'm at the point that you just projected you'd like to get me to, but I don't have another year to get there to get ready. I'm ready now to get rid of merchant advance financing, to get onto something that's it got a 2-year minimum term that brings my, you know, my daily rate down to maybe a weekly transaction or something of that nature that may be structured different than a merchant advance, maybe a legitimate loan. I mean, the equipment loan's got to be a legitimate loan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a capital loan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those are usually run on a monthly basis, just like your traditional, like if mm-hmm. you went out and bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
And the capital, yeah, absolutely we can do that. I mean, it really depends on what you qualify for. So, you know, like I said, let me get you qualified for the best deal.
Well, yeah, let me say to you, please take a good hard look at what I've been doing. And rather than me going back to these guys who can't do what you can do, in other words, I'm at the end of the road with the folks I've been talking to. I mm-hmm. mean, you probably know all of them. And by the way, it's not so much the lenders who you occasionally get to talk with, but it's the massive number of people in this the brokers that are swimming around out here. It's like a day doesn't go by that mm-hmm. I don't get hit. So, I mean, but it was very easy to do. It was timely for me, and it had energy and helped me get wheel spin. It was extremely important. And I'm not in any bad deals. I'm just in deal. I just want to take. I would rather that $3,000 a day can cover my entire financial requirements, right? If I just was in the right products. So that's the problem I've got. And if you need me to perform for a while so you can see if I'm real or not, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to look back and see what I've been doing this year. Sure. I haven't missed a payment.
No, yeah, I got you, man. I understand. And yeah, I mean, the nice thing is that, you know, I work hand in hand with, you know, all my underwriters. So I have meetings with them every single day so I can, you know, really tell them about your situation here and, you know, let me work
with you.
And
Okay. Are you really a bank?
Yeah, absolutely.
You work for the bank?
I do work for the bank, yes. I am the lender, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, let me...
Tell me what I need to do. So let's take it to the next step if we can.
Sure.
Let's try it.
Absolutely. What's a good email for you, David?
dfarley@luxysleep.com.
At Luxysleep.
D-F-A-R-L-E-Y at Luxy, L-U-X-I-S-L-E-E-P, all run together, .com. dfarley@luxysleep.com.
Perfect. So what I'll do here, David, is I will send you an email. It will have just a couple things on there just for us to take a look at. As soon as you get that over to me, I can start looking it over, and we can go from there. And hopefully have an answer here for you pretty quick. But yeah, definitely look it over. I'll tell it over with my underwriters, explain your situation, and I'd love to build this relationship here and do some business with you. And it'll also have
you probably got clients that you've had long-term relationships with, right?
Absolutely. We have them constantly. Actually, if you want to, you can go online and check out, all of our Google Plus reviews. You can check out our website, which I highly recommend.
I'll do that.
It'll all be on my contact information. And my direct line will be on there, too. So anytime you have any questions, feel free to give me that call.
What's your last name, Steve?
Shell, it's S-C-H-E-L-L.
All right. Let's give it a try. I'm interested in seeing if we can do something.
Absolutely. Me too.
Let's give it a try. Yeah, you send me the info, I'll respond, and we'll deal with it. Thanks again for listening to me. I apologize for the...
No worries. Hey, that's what I'm here for.
You bet.
All right, David. I'll be in touch, all right?
All right, Steve. I'll follow up. Thanks.
All right, have a good one. Thanks, bye.
Okay.